the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Score! Baby and Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Right, goes down low. There's Jaden Schwartz. Back to right, back to Schwartz. Tried to feed it back to right. Knocked down there. Good job by Vlasic to get a piece of that. Sturm couldn't clear it. Trouble. McCann in front. Shoot, save. Oh. Rebound. Oh, what a save by Devin Cooley off Jaden Schwartz. He thought he could tuck it in, but somehow the right leg of Cooley got there, and he knocked it away, and the Sharks clear, and the penalty's over. 10 seconds remaining in the game. One last chance for the Kraken to try to get another one. Here's Eberle moving in, coming in on the left side. Cartier backhander wide. 3 seconds left in the game. It's back on the point. It's Schultz. Shot. Saved by Cooley. And the game is over. And check out Mario Ferraro right at the end of the buzzer. Puts his arms around Cooley with a major bear hug. Also, Luke Cunningham and the rest of the Sharks coming out to congratulate Devin Cooley, who played the game of his life, making 49 saves. The shots 50-23 in favor of the Kraken, but Devin Cooley, the man of the night, as the Sharks win 3-1.
It's been amazing. You know, I'm trying to keep myself grounded and not get too excited, because obviously I feel like this is a league that'll humble you pretty quick. So I've just been taking it one day at a time, one save at a time. Just really trying to stay in the present moment and not get too excited, not get too happy. But sometimes it's hard not to, especially the way this month has gone. And I had a lot of family and friends in the stands again tonight, so it was a really special one.
All right, what's happening, everyone? How are we all doing as the San Jose Sharks finally get a win in Seattle? Devin Cooley gets his first ever road win, his second win in the NHL, and has what was just an absolutely amazing, amazing night. And I think that part of the fun out of this year for me has been in the sense that there's not the star power here like there used to be. There aren't the wins like there used to be. So you start wondering, where is the storyline going to take us? And where is the unexpected nature of a season going to pop up for a team like the Sharks? And, you know, you look no further than a player like Devin Cooley. And I'm a sucker for a story. I'll be the first to admit it. And the fact that he is a kid who grew up in the South Bay in Les Gatos and, you know, junior Shark and all these things, had Sharky come to his birthday party, his family had season tickets. Like, those are the types of stories that, for me, everyone has those dreams of as they're a little kid. You know, you pretend that you're going to be the hometown hero playing for the team that you grew up rooting for. And it's just so rare that that actually happens. And for Devin Cooley, that's been part of his narrative here for the last couple of games that he's been able to play in. And then, you know, you go beyond that. It's just the fact that he was not a guy who was getting great opportunities in his career. And, you know, now he's come over here with the Sharks. He's got a 299 goal against average. He's got a 918 save percentage. You know, he's given up in his last, you know, two games, two goals and one goal respectively. He had the game at Chicago where he gave up four, which I did not put that on him. And then the game at home against Chicago, which he gave up five, which again, I do not put entirely on him. But, you know, since those two performances, he's gotten used to things. He's given up 2-1 respectively against St. Louis, who is not a bad team by any means, and Seattle, who is not a bad team by any means. And obviously, we might not be talking, you know, about the top-tier teams, postseason teams of that nature, but still, these are good teams in the NHL, and I think that everyone should probably acknowledge, like, yeah, this is an impressive thing for Devin Cooley to be doing. And, you know, he bailed out the team when the team was not playing their best hockey, and he made saves, made big stops on penalty kills, and just, you know, was acrobatic and acted like he wanted it and played like he wanted it. And I think that's just such a huge thing to see. You know, he just made so many big stops throughout the entirety of the game. And then you get, you know, Henry Thrun coming in with what we thought initially was another goal from the blue line from him, but it was tipped by Luke Cunningham. So Henry Thrun picks up another assist there. Klim Kostin got another point on that goal. And then, you know, Seattle got back into it, and you didn't know how the Sharks were going to respond, and then, boom, they come out in the second period. Kyle Burrows picks up a goal assisted by William Eklund and, again, Henry Thrun, and then Fabian Zetterlund comes through with his 22nd of the year. This one is assisted again by William Eklund and Mikael Granlund getting the primary assist there So, you know, you see that Lund line coming through. You see Henry Thrun getting points. You see defensemen getting points. You see, you know, Luke Cunnan continuing his hot streak. And I know there can be a tendency to say, oh, well, it's the end of the year and, you know, this team is out of it and these are meaningless points. But, you know, I tend not to look at it that way just because I feel like they are battling for so much and playing for so much and, you know, just trying to do such a high level of play and, you know, trying to show the coaches that they want to be here. Like, these minutes, even though they don't matter in the grand scheme of the hockey season, like, no one's going to the postseason off of what is happening now. And it's, you know, relatively, I won't say irrelevant or meaningless, but it does not have the same impact as it would have when, you know, they were pre-elimination at different points of the year. But, you know, the Sharks, the writing was pretty much on the wall when you start off with the 0-10-1 start, right? When you go your first 11 winless, I think everyone pretty much knew at that point, if you didn't before the season began, that it was not going to be a playoff year. And so it can take a lot out of you. So the fact that they are still battling, the fact that they are still coming up with these big, big moments and these big wins and big plays from a guy like Devin Cooley, who's getting a chance, Klim Kostin, who's trying to prove himself, William Eklund, who's trying to take a greater level of responsibility. Like, these are the things to me that matter. Like, these guys are stepping up in the moment. And you go further with Henry Thrun trying to show that he's going to stick around and, you know, live up to some of the hype that he's had about him. And Klim Kostin, again, trying to show that he wants to be a part of this team going forward. You know, I'm not saying get fooled. Like, don't expect that, you know, Klim Kostin is going to come out next year and be nearly a point-per-game player. I don't think that's the right way to look at it. But I think that these guys are showing, like, hey, I can contribute. I can be part of this team. I can be part of the solution going forward. And that's ultimately what I want to see. Whether or not these guys are the quote-unquote solution, I don't know. But I do like the fact that they are continuing to produce, continuing to show what they're capable of, and continuing to express a desire to remain with the Sharks. When we talked to Klim Kostin after a game, last week, he talked about the ice time he was getting and how that's such a big change for him. And, you know, he's been able to produce, and you put him out there with Mikael Granlund, and that's going to help things. But, you know, that, again, you have to be in a situation to take advantage of it. And he's had the opportunity to take advantage, and he has. You know, Henry Thrun, he's just gotten so much more aggressive and so much more confident in his game. Thomas Bortolo, even though he's not been getting rewarded offensively, he's taking big steps forward. I mean, that's exactly what I wanted to see, and we're seeing it happen in real time. And then you get a guy like Fabian Zetterlund. You know, he's got 22 goals. He's a guy who's establishing himself as a goal scorer in this league. And I think that where he is right now versus where he was a year ago versus where he might be in a year's time, like, I am not convinced that this guy doesn't have 30-plus, 40-goal potential in him. You know, you get the Sharks a higher level of talent. You get him, you know, just on a better team that has a better power play overall, that's better from, you know, game one to game 82. You know, Fabian Zetterlund has a high, high limit. And I didn't think I'd be saying that when he first came over. When he was first with the Sharks, I was like, I don't know about this guy. I liked his game of what I'd seen of him, but, you know, he was not clearly fitting in. He wasn't just confident enough out there on the ice. Now, when Fabian Zetterlund has the puck on his stick, you feel like anything can happen. And he's doing this on a bad team. And I'm not trying to be, you know, mean or anything about that, but, you know, clearly the Sharks are not a great team. And Fabian Zetterlund is coming through now with 22 goals over the course of the year. He's not a heat streak type guy. It seems like he's just consistently scoring, consistently racking up points. I love to see it. I think that, you know, his work rate all over the ice is very, very obvious to see. You know, he's not a perfect player by any means. He's still growing. He's still learning. But, you know, when you see a guy who wants it, when you see a guy who wants to put forth that type of effort, it is not lost on me. And so it's been very fun to watch him develop. And then, you know, I know there are some people out there who are like, hey, you know, the Sharks are getting in within a couple of, I think maybe 4 points within Chicago. Yeah, I know. I understand that you want the greatest odds to get Macklin Celebrini, but at this point, I think you've just got to let the season play out. Don't worry about whether or not you have the best odds. Let the Sharks finish up their season. Let these guys show themselves and their abilities to the coach, to the GM, to the fan base that they want to be here, and just let things play out. Chicago, 51 points. San Jose, 47 points. When I look at the remainder of the Sharks' schedule, they've got the Wild at home on Saturday night for their last home game of the year. Then they are going to be at Edmonton and at Calgary next week to finish things off. I'm not sure how many wins there are out of those three games, but at the same time, I just encourage you all to let the season play out. Don't worry about the draft. Don't worry about the lottery. It's not like it's a guaranteed win anyway if you get the worst record. It doesn't mean you get the number one pick. But, you know, enjoy the season while it lasts, because in a week's time, the season's going to be over and we're going to have a long off season and we're not going to be back at it till October. And, you know, I'm excited for the future of the Sharks. I'm excited for what's coming in the next couple of years. And I think that these guys that are on the ice right now deserve the moment to have the best possible finish to the season that they can have, because it has been such a difficult season. It has been a lot for all these guys to take. They're still fighting. They're still winning. And they're just trying to get through to the end. But let's take a look at some of the highlights out of last night's game, starting off with Devin Cooley, who even early on in the first period was just making big stop after big stop after big stop.
The Kraken, Yanni Gourde moving in. Got it around Colin Graf, who lost his helmet. He's got to come off the ice. And Cooley falls on the puck, makes the save, but no, he can't hang on. Cooley's back on his feet. A block shot by Ruda. It comes back to the point. Here's Larson, tipped on net. Oh, what a save by Cooley. That one was off of Riker Evans, who came in from the point and tipped it perfectly. But Cooley was right there to make the save.
Yeah, Devin Cooley saw 50 shots last night. 50 shots he saw. He stopped 49 of them, a 980 save percentage on the night. That's just a huge, huge night for him. He's back to 500 on the year. Two starts have been wins, two starts have been losses, but just an absolutely unbelievable performance by him, seeing 50 shots, making 49 saves, only giving up the one goal, and just throughout the night was like that, just, you know, was making saves, double saves, just, you know, falling on the puck, doing everything he could to give his team a chance when they were faltering around him. And I think that that was kind of a one hand feeds. The other thing is that, you know, as he kept the Sharks in a 1-1 game when they weren't playing their best hockey and made big stops when they were up 2-1 and 3-1, you could kind of see the Sharks start to fight a little bit more out there on the ice, because they realized that they were given a shot by Cooley at certain moments. And then Cooley kind of got emboldened by that. And there was a couple times where he made the glove save and did it with a little bit of flair and confidence. And I was sitting to myself saying, oh, I like this. He's feeling it right now. And so it got more fun for me to watch, because you could tell that the confidence was growing before our very eyes on the ice. And that's one of those things where you kind of knew in that moment, where I think it was early in the third period when he made a glove save and it was just done with a little bit of flair, was like, okay, he's feeling it. Sharks are winning this game. But go back to the first period when Cooley was just stopping shot after shot after shot. San Jose strikes first.
Off the faceoff, Sharks have changed the line. Here's Thrun, shoot, score! The Sharks win the draw. The puck comes over to Henry Thrun, and with Luke Cunning in front of the net, it was Thrun who took the wrist shot, and it slips through past DeCord. 1-0 San Jose at 8:07 of the first.
Yeah, hard to tell in real time there if Cunning had touched it. They did later award him the goal, so Luke Cunning continues his productivity as of late, and San Jose took the early 1-0 lead. But not too long after San Jose took that first period lead, it was the Kraken who came back to level things just about a minute and 20 seconds later.
But here's Eberle moving left to right, cross the line, drop back, Dumoulin moving in, score! At 9:23 of the first period, Brian Dumoulin ends up tying the game 1-1. And that came right after the Sharks thought that they had held them off. But a nice little exchange of plays. Jordan Eberle is going to get the assist, and it's 1-1.
But that would be all that Cooley would give up, and that would be all the Sharks would really falter in throughout the entire game. They had moments on the kill where they came up big. They had moments throughout the game where they had little breaks, little moments where it looked like it could have gone the other way, but they came up with the big stops, whether it was Cooley, whether it was just nice puck play, whether it was closing out on defense. All throughout the game, the Sharks continued to make the big plays. And that continued in the second period with Kyle Burrows getting his second goal of the year.
And off the draw, Sharks win it. Here's Eklund down the right, moving it in deliberately, throwing it off to his left. Here's Burrows shooting it. Score! Kyle Burrows on the pass from Eklund. And the Sharks take the 2-1 lead with 5:13 to go in the second period, with only their 13th shot on goal.
And then who else but Fabian Zetterlund with his 22nd of the year to give the Sharks a 3-1 lead. And Seattle would not be able to find their way back into this one.
The Sharks take over. Lassick passes out Eklund. Eklund tips the puck in the air, knocked it forward. Zetterlund poked it across the line, and Zetterlund and Eklund playing catch with it. They send it in deep to the corner. Eklund beat his man to it. Got it to Granlund behind the net. Centering play. Score! Fabian Zetterlund in front from Eklund and from Granlund in front. And the Sharks take the 3-1 lead.
Yeah, props to the Lund line, which has been so much fun to watch. And the Sharks, a 3-1 lead. That would be enough. But it did require some big, big saves from Cooley.
Well, now the Kraken are going to try to take advantage as they've got Larson shooting it toward the net. Nice block by William Eklund. Boy, that stings. There goes the goaltender. Extra attacker coming on. It's thrown to the net there by Schwartz. Just wide of the goal. Eklund is still shaken up.
Yeah, he is hurt.
He blocked it. And here's Bjorkstrand trying to take advantage as Eklund hobbles his way into position, just keeping his stick out to try to
get over
stop
there.
It.
He can't.
He can't get
move.
Off the ice. Yeah. Here's Bjorkstrand shooting it. It's blocked this time by Ferraro. Centered. Oh. Saved by Cooley on a shot by Larson. Driving down the center lane. And Devin Cooley is able to stop it. And two players, Eklund and Ferraro, are both hobbled by blocking shots. And Cooley takes over the game as trainer Ray Tupps comes on to a 10.
And that was that fight moment where everybody out there is getting bruised. Everybody's getting battered, but they're fighting for Cooley. And Cooley's fighting for them. One hand is feeding the other. It was a great sight to see. You were hoping that no one was shaken up. But obviously the Sharks came out unscathed and they did have the win. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to get into some post-game reaction. And I spoke with Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. Thought I'd give you a taste of that interview as well. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Here's Bjorkstrand trying to take advantage as Eklund hobbles his way into position, just keeping his stick out to try to stop
there.
It.
He can't
get
move.
Off the ice. Yeah. Here's Bjorkstrand shooting it. It's blocked this time by Ferraro. Centered.
Oh.
Saved by Cooley on a shot by Larson. Driving down the center lane. And Devin Cooley is able to stop it. And two players, Eklund and Ferraro, are both hobbled by blocking shots, and Cooley takes over the game as trainer Ray Tupps comes on to a 10.
I mean, outstanding. I mean, he was unbelievable, especially in the first period. I thought we got better as the game went on, but, you know, I mean, they certainly set the pace and the tempo for the most part tonight, and we were very opportunistic, but our goalie was outstanding. There's really not much more to talk about, really.
Devin Cooley with the big saves and David Quinn with the high praise as we come back in on a Friday morning here on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network. More from David Quinn, just talking about the game overall and having success in Seattle.
It feels good to come out with a win. You wish you played better, but, you know, at the end of the day, it feels good to win. It's been a tough goal for us here, and for the most part, our guys have done a really good job down the stretch here under difficult circumstances. And I thought we got better as the game went on, and but certainly didn't play great by any stretch of the imaginations, but our goalie certainly did.
Quinn was also asked about the Lund brothers and their line's performance.
Yeah, they've obviously played well. I mean, they've been opportunistic. They've created some offense for us. You know, it's you can see this chemistry there, so, you know, obviously it's good to see.
I would hope that in the future the Sharks marketing arm has some sort of a Lund jersey, which has a Velcro part where you can change it from Zetter to Eck to Gran and just get the Lund in there. I'm clearly kept away from marketing for obvious reasons, but that would be fun to have something like that. David Quinn also talked about Henry Thrun, multi-point game for him and his continued development.
Well, he's playing with a whole new level of confidence. I think, you know, as he's gone through the year, there's been some natural ups and downs for a young player, especially a defenseman in this league. And, you know, I've said this a lot about him. The one thing I love about him is he doesn't let a bad play or a bad game get in the way of his development, which is very important at this level.
To that point, he also talked about Thomas Bordalo and William Eklund kind of taking more responsibility and putting more of the onus on themselves as they have gotten more time on the ice.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, listen, we want guys to score. You know, you never want a guy not to score, but, you know, I get being frustrated, but you've got to get satisfaction in other areas of your game, or you're going to have a hard time playing in this league because it's hard to score. There's going to be plenty of nights where you're going to not get a goal or assist and get any points, and you better find other ways to feel good about your game. So I think that's what young players learn when they get to this level.
You know, after that game the other night, Thomas Bortolo in particular talked about being pissed that he couldn't help the Sharks get a big power play goal or couldn't get, you know, a moment for the team to help them not lose to Calgary. Obviously, he didn't, and the team ended up falling. But the fact is, you're seeing these guys. I don't want to say that they didn't take it as seriously before, but I think that when you watch Thomas Bortolo and William Eklund get more time, get more experience, I think that they have a level where they're starting to get, you know, sick of the losing, and you can see it bothers them more. And I think that's part of the development that needs to happen. These guys need to absolutely hate losing, and I think that'll carry them a long way. But I think now they might take it just a bit more personally than they did previously, because they are proving themselves as consistent NHL players. And part of that is being not just excited to be in this league. It's about being performing at the next level.
It's, you know, it's good for our group. We've been, you know, competing, we've been staying in games, and you know, that's not always easy to do. I don't think at this point of the season, obviously, like you said, it's been tough for us. So, you know, that compete that was there tonight was good. It's a good win for us. Good for Cools. Yeah, it's good for the team morale.
Mario Ferraro weighing in after the game, and obviously he feels like a guy that, to me, can really pick up on the mood of the team. He knows how to lighten things up. He knows how exactly to handle the dressing room. He learned that from guys like Jumbo and like Brent Burns. So when you hear him talk about it and talk about the compete level and the guys needing a win like that one, you know, to me, it means something because he understands and learned from some of the best of how to manage situations. He also offered this on Devin Cooley's performance.
He's been great. You know, obviously, they got a lot of shots tonight. They got a lot of great A chances. And, you know, without him in net, who knows what the result of the game would have been. So, you know, you need good goaltending in this league. And he's done a great job. And we're happy for him.
Cooley spoke after the game talking about the fact that Thomas Speer and Mackenzie Blackwood working with the two of them since he's gotten to San Jose has really been big for his game. And that's exactly what you want to hear in the sense that guys feel like they're coming here and they are improving. Like, that to me is the number one aspect that you need to hear and want to hear, is that guys feel that they're coming to San Jose and improving upon their game.
Oh my God, both of them have been like amazing. They've totally like revolutionized my game. A lot of it's just like, you know, filling space, not like attacking so much, not like reaching for pucks, but just letting pucks come to me, letting pucks hit me, being more upright, you know, not sitting so back, not getting so low, like using my whole frame to fill space. And yeah, it's working really well. And I think a lot of pucks are starting to hit me a lot more. The game's starting to feel a lot easier. I don't feel like I'm chasing as much. So yeah, they've just been great. Credit to both of them.
And I'll just give you a little insight for me after the game sometime. I see Speer talking with Mackenzie Blackwood or with Devin Cooley or previously with Kaapo Kähkönen or with Magnus Crona. And that to me is like really cool to watch him, you know, immediately after the game. It's always in a very positive manner too. Like, I've never seen Speer being negative. They're talking about situations in the game. They're talking about saves. They're talking about things that they saw. It's a very open line of communication, and I think that to me is really cool to see. And, you know, I always look at how the coaching staff interacts with players and look at how they go about doing things and, you know, what the mood is after the game. And this is after losses and after wins. And I see Speer in particular focusing on the positive. And I think for a goalie, obviously you don't want to focus on the negative after any performance. You just want to look at what was good, what was high performing, what was effective throughout the course of the game. But to me, it's always very interesting to see the way that he's presenting information and talking with the goalies. It's always immediately after the game. They're not just waiting. They're keeping the conversation alive while the plays, while the moments, while the mechanics are still fresh in their mind. And I think that that's something that's just, I haven't specifically seen that before. And I think that's part of what makes Speer such an effective coach. And, you know, just to me is interesting. And I've covered all sports, and you're watching a position coach specifically go over something immediately after the game. And that might be difficult in some situation because the goalie may not have had his best night, or the team may have suffered a devastating loss. But Instead, Spear is in there talking to his guys, going over different aspects of the game, and that's, to me, always been very, very fascinating to see, and something that I have appreciated. All right, before we run out of time, I did want to give you a taste of the interview I did yesterday with Shang Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. And I started by asking him what he wanted to see out of these final few games.
The same thing every year. Just look for players, look for hope, look for the kind of guys that might be around when the team is good again, or at least the kind of players that can help bring the team out of this.
Is Klim Kostin one of those players?
I don't know. I think it's very easy to be look at the points totals end of the season. Also, he spent a lot of time with the Sharks' best centerman and Mikael Granlund, who's made all of his line mates better this season. Mm-hmm. And just assume that this guy is going to be, a big part of it. But no, I'm not sure about it. I think that David Quinn has mentioned this, that Klim has a little bit to improve in terms of just being, not that he's out of shape or anything like that, but just a little bit, lighter, a little bit of that. And if he shows that this summer, that's a guy that you want to keep around then, right? Because that's a guy that has a commitment to his training, to making himself better and therefore the team better. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do that, then that kind of shows, okay, this is a guy that maybe is a little more going off of his sort of natural ability, which he does have a lot of as a 2017 first round pick. I'm not convinced that he's necessarily a guy that is going to be here in a couple of years. Hope so. There are some flashes. I'm not trying to take that away from him. Mm-hmm. He's shown some good stuff, but I just don't want to get too carried away just because the guy has shown a few good games at the end of the season.
What have your thoughts on Luke Cunningham been all year long? Because I know the knock on him is maybe his lack of production versus what he was acquired to be, which I take into account the fact that he was coming back from a major knee injury. And even if his, skill set was not where it was when he went down with that injury the previous year, that, like you alluded to, the heart of a lion and his leadership capabilities have really lifted the team at times. But it seems like lately he's looked more and more like the player that we remember before the knee injury. And something I talk about, Shang, is like getting recovered and healthy from an injury does not automatically equate to you being the player you were before the injury. Like, it takes time.
It does. With Luke, I think I've held a fairly consistent opinion. I'm not too moved necessarily by what he's done recently, because I think that he's always had that capability. He always has had kind of multiple strengths, and he also has weaknesses too. There's a reason why he's not higher up in the lineup on a better team. But in terms of just that sort of drag you into that fight mentality, physicality, willing to fight, can kill penalties. You can play him net front on a power play too. He won't hurt you too much there. And mm-hmm. given a chance, he can finish a little bit too. That's a very, very valuable player when you take everything together. In terms of the finishing, I know that hasn't been as great as people had hoped, and for the money he makes, which I understand. But he's also led a team in post this year too, I think, crossbars and post. So yeah, if a couple of those go in, maybe people's opinion is different. But I've always liked the player. I've always thought that was a player that you want around. And yes, once again, you can't ignore salary cap figure, AAV, this day and age, but the Sharks can't afford to overpay a player that brings a lot of things to the table, and a lot of different things to the table. And of course, he is a pending RFA. I'd be shocked if the Sharks didn't bring him back.
To hear the entirety of that interview, check out the Build Up Game 79 against Seattle. A lot of interesting insight from Shang there, as always. But we are out of time. I'll be back with you on Saturday as we get ready for the Sharks to have their final home game of the year, taking on the Wild at 7:30, pregame 7 o'clock, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.